Hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine on Thursday, a cloudy, rainy day here in Brooklyn, but the sunshine of God's love and the light of His Word can shine on us today. So let's go to prayer and ask God to open our hearts and minds to the Word of God today. Father, thank you so much for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth that we might have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus gives purpose. He said, I've come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. And thank you, Lord, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. You loved us so much to give us your Son, the living Word. And you loved us so much to give us the Bible, the written Word. So we pray as we study today that you'll encourage our hearts, strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, open your Bibles up to Joshua chapter 10. Yesterday we caught up. I had forgotten that we did not finish chapter 9 when we had that week where Thursday's broadcast didn't happen. And so we started chapter 10, went back and caught up on chapter 9, and now we come back to chapter 10 that we had begun on Tuesday. So we're in Joshua chapter 10. We had read the first 15 verses of Joshua chapter 10, and so I want to read another segment of verses here, starting with verse 16. So follow along on your phone or in your Bible, and let's study God's Word together. Joshua chapter 10, verse 16. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Makkedah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been found hidden in the cave at Makkedah. So Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourselves, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear ranks. Do not allow them to enter their cities, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities. And all the people returned to the camp to Joshua at Makkedah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so, and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out those kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with him, come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterward Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the trees until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave's mouth, which remain until this very day. So here we have another conquest by Joshua. Remember, he was pulled into an alliance with the Gibeonites, and the five kings of Canaan here wanted to attack Gibeon. And so the Gibeonites said, to Joshua, you got to help us. Remember, we belong to you. We are part of an alliance with you. So you've got to come to our rescue. And indeed, Joshua did. And in the plan of God, enemies were destroyed, even though Joshua's alliance from chapter 9 was not what God had commanded. All right, so we looked at chapter 10, verse 6, question 5 under observation. What was the response of the Gibeonites when they saw the coalition of kings camped against them? List their multiple requests to Joshua. Well, they sent word to Joshua at Gilgal, basically saying, save us, help us. They ran to Big Brother, we might say. So their requests were this from verse 6. Do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us. Help us, for all the kings have gathered against us. Well, look then at verses 7 and 8. Go back to them. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. So the statement in verse 6 is Joshua took immediate action in response to the Gibeonites. How did God encourage him? Joshua ascended with people of war and all the mighty men. And how did God encourage him? God encouraged him by telling him not to fear and that he had delivered the enemies into his hand. Not a man shall stand before you. You know, there are various times in Scripture where God encourages his people and he tells them, you don't need to be afraid. I am with you. The enemy will not be victorious over you. And we can apply that in the Christian life. If God be for us, who can be against us? To correlate Romans chapter 8. God and his children, his child, make a majority. Maybe you're having a rough time today, or you feel overwhelmed by temptation or by pressures, by life concerns. Remember, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you belong to him. If God is for you, who can be against you? You are in a majority. Well, notice verses 9 through 11. Though Joshua took action as a military commander, this is question 7, who is credited with the ultimate defeat of the enemies? And how did he accomplish the victory? And you'll notice, if you have the notes, the question, how did he accomplish the victory, he is capitalized. So verses 9 through 11, Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, that is on these five Amorite kings, having marched all night from Gilgal. Gilgal was the military base. It was headquarters. Joshua marched through the night. Remember, there are many military strategies here in the book of Joshua, and one of those would be this, a night attack, a night travel to be undiscovered. So Joshua did this, ancient warfare, but this tactic still works, attack by surprise, attack at night. So he had marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them, that is the enemies, before Israel. He routed them. He defeated them. He killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makkedah. You can locate these places on some Bible maps. To see how Joshua was used by God to chase away the enemy, to kill them, destroy them. And notice what the Lord did here in verse 10. The Lord routed them. Now Joshua had marched all night with his army. He had gone before from Gilgal. But it says the Lord routed them. He used the army of Joshua. He defeated them, this Amorite coalition. He killed them. He chased them. He struck them down. Military terms, words that fit warfare. But who's fighting here? It says the Lord did this. Well, did he use Joshua's army? Yes, he did. But the Lord is the one working. How did he accomplish this victory? He caused these enemy kings and their armies to flee. He enabled Joshua to attack with the sword. But more powerfully, he even cast down large hailstones to destroy them. Look at verse 11. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Beth Horon. So there was this elevated peak. They were on the descent going down, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than those whom the children of Israel killed with the sword. What an amazing story. The God of heaven, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, he comes to fight for and with Joshua, and he used hailstones. You know, it's just amazing to me how God shows who's in control by his use of nature. I love to see snow in the city, especially at night. It is absolutely beautiful to see the street lights or at Christmas time, Christmas lights shining through the snow, reflecting on the snow. It's just beautiful. But have you noticed how God can take this innocent little snowflake, multiply it by the millions and billions, and give a snowstorm, and you can have great airports like John F. Kennedy Airport shut down. You can have trains shut down, buses shut down. It is amazing. God multiplies a snowflake. Well, having lived in Texas, I know a little bit about hail. I think the largest I ever saw was, it seems like I recall, tennis ball size or baseball size. I remember golf ball size, and then of course there's smaller hail, but it's a big thing there to have hail damage on the roofs of the homes and big insurance claims because hail damages a roof, and also cars. And you can see a car with the hood with all these little dents in it from hail, because hail has pelted the car and dented the roof and the hood and the trunk. Really interesting to see. Well, here God is casting down hail on the enemy. This is a severe thing. It says large hailstones. I tell you, I don't want to be hit with a golf ball size hailstone or even one that's the size of a dime. Much less something the size of a baseball or even larger. So God used nature here to defeat the enemy. He created this amazing hailstorm to help Joshua and the Israelites. That is just amazing to me to think about that. So God is sovereign. He humbles us if we will only respond to it. I think right now the volcano and St. Vincent and the ash and all that comes from that. What do people need to do? Call out to God for help. Repent of sin and realize that the Lord of hosts is alive and well. And he can show forth acts of might and even acts of judgment. So may we respond to pestilence, the COVID plague. May we respond to the snow, the hail, and all the things that God allows or even sends into our world that we may turn to Him and seek Him. Well, I've gone to preaching here on this. I'm just amazed at how God accomplished victory here for Joshua using these hailstones. More died from them than from the sword. Well, let's look at verses 12 through 15. This is question number 8. What is going on here? Harmonize this. Joshua spoke to the Lord. Harmonize that with, "Son, stand still." Notice verse 12. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Aijalon." So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. What an amazing miracle. The sun stands still. Verse 14. There has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. So the Lord, Joshua spoke to the Lord, but then also he spoke to the sun. But notice what it says. No day like this that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. So what's going on here? How can we harmonize this that Joshua is speaking to the Lord in prayer and then he's commanding the sun stand still? Joshua is praying. He is asking God to perform a miracle on nature. The contents of his request are placed in poetic form as if he were commanding the elements directly. He's in reality asking God to make the sun stand still. But the words set apart, indented in poetic form here, are the words that he's commanding the sun and moon, but it's through the power of the Lord that they would stand still. So it's a work of God. Joshua's calling out to the Lord, and he's speaking to the elements, the sun and moon, in the power of the Lord. Absolutely amazing. Think what happened on that day for the sun to stand in its place and not go down. Think of that. And all the scientific things that could have taken place through that. What miracles are here in the book of Joshua? And did you notice this detail? The Lord fought for Israel. So here we see the Lord used hail to fight for Israel. He used the sun and the moon, or stopping the sun and the moon. He used them to fight for Israel. No wonder he is called Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. He's commander-in-chief over all the elements of nature. He's commander-in-chief all over all the authorities present in this world. And we can go to him in prayer, and we can trust in him for spiritual victory. Praise the Lord for that. Are you having a challenge in some area in your life? You need spiritual victory? Go to the Lord of hosts today. Well, we come today to two places for prayer. One is Guadalupe, also in the Caribbean. It is It belongs to France, Guadalupe, an overseas department, it's called. It is north of Dominica in the Caribbean. And so this little island, here are some prayer requests. Haitian immigrants are proving quite responsive to the gospel through the ministry of the Evangelical Baptist Mission. So they speak French here, and Haitian immigrants are coming there. They're becoming responsive to the gospel. Let's pray for more response. And then I want to focus on this request for young people. Child Evangelism Fellowship runs good news clubs, trains workers to evangelize children, and has a weekly radio broadcast and correspondence course for children. A great ministry, Child Evangelism Fellowship, and they're at work here in Guadalupe. The other country we want to intercede for today is way out in the Pacific. It's an American territory, and it is the island of Guam. There are some great works here for the Lord in Guam. Schools and ministries that are powerful for the gospel. Listen to this. Missionary outreach from Guam is beginning to occur. The churches have the capacity and desire to send missionaries to the Pacific nations. Wonderful. From this little island that also hosts American military bases. From this island, missionaries are being sent out to Pacific nations in the Pacific Ocean area. Praise God. Let's pray for that to increase. And the Ministry of Trans World Radio transmits from Guam. So let's pray. Listen to this. Transmitting station in Guam broadcasts radio programs to China, Cambodia, and several other nations. Pray for more workers for this ministry. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you that every little island is known by you. Every inhabitant is known by you. And every believer is surely known. So, Father, we pray for Guadalupe. Thank you for the Haitian immigrants that are responding to the gospel. Thank you for the work of Evangelical Baptist Mission. Multiply gospel ministry there, not only to the Haitian immigrants, but to all those on that island. Multiply the scriptures and gospel portions, and use the work of Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children. Bless these Bible correspondence courses. We pray, Lord, that many will be saved in Guadalupe. And thank you, Lord, for the gospel work in Guam, for the work of missionaries establishing a Christian school, and for strong churches. And Lord, we pray that their missionary zeal will increase and that they will send the gospel throughout the Pacific area. Bless the radio ministry of Transworld Radio. Lord, the gospel that is broadcast into China, will you multiply that influence and cause many Chinese to come to know Christ and Chinese believers to be encouraged? And people in Cambodia, we pray they will be reached with the radio, and Lord, that the church will increase. So bless the ministries on the island of Guam. And thank you, Lord, that we can partner in these few minutes with these ministries through prayer. Lord, do a mighty work in America, that the plagues that we see going on, that we would turn to you and cry out to you. Send a revival, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, dear friends. I hope you will have a wonderful weekend, that you will worship the Lord, you'll be together with God's people, and that we'll see you again on Tuesday, Lord willing. May God's light shine brightly on you today.